بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 20th of November in the year 2021 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 243rd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib radiallahu anhu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that the shaitan who the Prophet predicted would be killed by Ali has been killed in the Battle of Nahrawan. But to add a few more reports, it mentions that this accursed person's body was at first hard to find. In Sahih Muslim, number 2334, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abu Rafi, he said, radiallahu anhu, when Ali radiallahu anhu defeated them, he said, search, i.e. for the accursed man's body. They searched for him, but they could not find it. Upon this, he once again said, go and search again. For by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither have I spoken a lie, nor has a lie been spoken to me. He repeated this twice or thrice, then they ultimately found him. Subhanallah. So this adds a detail. His body was hard to find. But look what Hazrat Ali said. He had such conviction in the Prophet's words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have not spoken a lie, nor has a lie been spoken to me. Because go and look for him. And alhamdulillah, they found him. In another report, it mentions, in Nasa'i, number 8566, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 848, and Fada'il al-Sahaba, number 1224, Tariq Baghdad number 7689 or 14-362. Hafiz al-Marwazi in his Ta'zim Qadr al-Salah number 247 or 1-256. Tariq ibn Ziyad, rahmatullah alayhi, related. We went out with Ali radiallahu to pursue the Kharijites and he slew them. Then he said, take a close look. For Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Kharijites' distinguishing trait is that there is amongst them a man of dark complexion with a deformed hand with black hairs upon it. If it is him you find, then you have killed the most evil of people. And if it is not, then a'udhu billah, you have killed the best of people. We then began to weep, I out of fear of the divine wrath. And then he said, now look for him. We then looked for him, and subhanallah, much to our relief, we found him with a deformed hand. Thus we fell into prostration in gratitude, and Sayyidina Ali also prostrated with us. So look how beautiful. All the different authentic reports adds details, and each detail gives you a better picture of the whole scenario. So here, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he mentioned the sign of the shaitan, but then he added, if you find him, then nothing to worry about. You've killed the most evil of people. But if you don't find him, then a'udhu billah, you've killed the best of people. So look at their reaction. It shows they were pious. They began to weep. They were thinking, oh my God, we might have killed the best of people. But when they looked, they found him. And they were so grateful that they prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in gratitude. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu also prostrated with them. In another report, adding details. So this is in Sahih Muslim, Ahmad in his Musnad. Ubaidah rahmatullah alayhi said, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said to the people of Nahrawan, there is a man with a short hand amongst you. If I now did not fear that you would become proud, I would now inform you about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the reward he would grant to anyone who would kill that man and those with him. I thereupon asked, did you really hear these words from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sayyidina Ali responded radiallahu anhu, by the Lord of the Kaaba, he said this three times. I certainly heard this from him. Indeed, I prefer falling down from the heaven to the ground than lying about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's look at this. So this adds another detail. So he said, I don't want to tell you the reward. Meaning, because you'll get proud. If you find that man, he goes, if you know the reward for the one you've killed, he goes, I don't want to tell you, you'll get proud. So one of the narrators said, did you really hear this from the Prophet? In other words, he found that hard to believe. And look what Hazrat Ali said. If I had a choice between being thrown from the heavens to the earth or lying about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would rather fall from the heavens to the earth. He said, I would never lie about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what's the reward? Go back to the hadith yesterday. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Ajrun azim, an immense reward. Meaning you don't know what you've done. Something maybe small but is great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another report, in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Ibn Kathir, Sirah, volume 3, page 493 of the English translation, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 82-3 of the New English translation, Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold us, the outstanding feature of these people will be a dog-skinned man whose one arm will be hanging loose and will appear like a woman's breast or like a loose piece of flesh. They will make their appearance at a time when there will be disunity amongst the people. And they will revolt against khayri firqatin minan nas, the best section of mankind. Abu Sa'id continued, radiyallahu, I testify I had certainly heard these words from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I also testify, I was with Ali ibn Abu Talib when he fought against these people. Upon instruction of Ali radiyallahu, a search was carried out for this man. When he was brought, subhanallah, I found him to be exactly as Rasulullah described him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So more details. So this is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. So it mentions that one of his arms is like a loose piece of flesh, like a woman's breast. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say? They will emerge when? When there's disunity. Didn't that happen? Then he added, they will revolt from who? خَيْرِ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, the best section of mankind. So who was the best section? Ali. Because they will break. Look how foolish that was. Who will be broken away from? You couldn't get much worse. The greatest of mankind, we broke away from them. The Prophet goes, they will do it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Sa'id said, I heard these words from Rasulullah and I was with Ali and we found that man whom the Prophet mentioned. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one report, it mentions why his body was hard to find. So why was his body? You know, what was the difficulty in finding his body? In Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf 15-317, Sahih, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu and his friends found a heap of fighters at the edge of the river with bodies lying on top of one another. He ordered, take them out. Upon this, Mukhaddaj, the one with the incomplete arm, was at the bottom. They all then began to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rejoice with Ali, prostrating out of gratitude after saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken the truth and his messenger has delivered it. So where was he? On the bank of the river, under three or four bodies. So obviously on the surface you can't see him. So this Sahih hadith in Ibn Abi Shayba explains why his body was hard to find. And Hazrat Ali goes, take the bodies out. And they found him at the bottom. And then they all started doing sujood. And what did they say? Allah Ta'ala has spoken the truth. And who has delivered it? Rasulullah. Meaning Allah Ta'ala gave this knowledge to the Prophet and he delivered it to us 30 or so years earlier. The description. In Fath al-Bari 12-294-5, he had a stumped hand. Meaning, look, a small hand. You get people like this. They have one hand bigger than the other. He has an incomplete arm, which ends at the elbow. So it can't be that arm, right? So the hand which was short was the complete arm. The other arm was only up to the elbow, like a loose piece of flesh. At the end of the arm was a nipple with short hair. The upper arm itself was not stable, as if it had no bone with the flesh moving about. So look how strange the description. He's got half an arm, fleshy, at the end of it, hair coming out of a kind of a nipple, and that's why it's described as a breast. And the other arm, he had a stunt hand. So he was deformed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described all of this. In another report it mentions, Sayyidina Anas relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "They are the most evil of people and of creation. Glad tidings to the one who kills them, or they kill him. They will call people to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they will have nothing to do with it. Whoever fights them is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than them." This is in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Hakim, and his Mustadrak Sahih. And Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi authenticates it in Sahih Al-Jami 3-217. So what did our beloved Messenger say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They are the most evil of people and creation. Now think about that. They're Muslims. Yet the Prophet said they're the most evil of people. Then he said, glad tidings to two. The one who kills them, or they kill him. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will call to the Quran, but they've got nothing to do with it. Look how strange that is. Love their Quran. Pointing to their Qurans. Because they've got nothing. The Prophet goes, they've got nothing to do with it. They call it to nothing. Then the Prophet said, whoever fights them is closer to Allah Ta'ala than them. So look how strange. They're doing it. We are the chosen ones. No, the one who fight you are the chosen ones. The Prophet said all these things about the Khawarij sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As mentioned, it is further related. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu made a prostration of thanks when he found Dhu At-Tudayya amongst the dead of the Khawarij. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 1190, with a Sahih transmission. So what is this prostration? This is called the prostration of thanks. Just as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu performed the prostration of thanks upon receiving the news of the death of the accursed false prophet Musaylim Adalaya, recorded in Bayhaqi 2-371, Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunan and others. So the people say there's no proof of this prostration of gratitude. There is proof. Two of the Khalafa Rashidin did it. Abu Bakr did it when the shaitan was killed, Musaylim. And Sayyidina Ali did it, radiyallahu anhu, when the shaitan of the father of the Khawarij was killed. This is a prostration of gratefulness. In fact, there's actually a report where the Prophet did it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Jahl was killed. When the news was brought to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prostrated in gratitude. I believe the hadith is in Ibn Majah. So no, this is from our, when great news is given. When great news, this is a prostration of gratefulness. Just as after the battle of the Camel, there was once again no spoils to be taken by the victors. There was no spoils of war. Shaqiq ibn Salama, he said, rahmatullah alayh, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu did not take any prisoners on the day of the Camel or Al-Nahrawan. This is in Bayhaqi, in his Sunan Al-Kubra, 8-182, Sahih. So what does that prove? They were Muslims. So Hazrat Ali did not take prisoners. Imagine, he defeated them. He treated them with respect and he told them to go on their way. No prisoners. It is further related. He then carried the worn military gear of the people of the river back to Kufa. And he said, whoever recognizes something should reclaim it. Thus the people began to take until they remained a small amount, which was eventually taken by a single man. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh in Al-Talkhis Al-Habir. 4-47. So look how strange. All of the military gear, the swords, the weaponry, Hazrat Ali took it. And in Kufa he goes, anybody who's lost anything on the battlefield, come and claim it. And they took it all back. So no prisoners, even the weaponry, he goes, give it back to them. Is theirs. The Amir al-Mu'mineen was later asked about them. Somebody said, were they unbelievers? He goes, no. He says, were they hypocrites? He goes, no. He says, what were they then, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, they are a people who have been afflicted with evil and thus become deaf and blind. This is an Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf 10-150, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 15-332, Sahih. So what did he say? Very important not to get emotional here. Oh, they're kafirs. We're not like Khawarij. We don't call Muslims kafirs, no matter what sins they commit. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, they're not kafirs. They're not munafiqs. So what are they? They've been afflicted with evil. And because of that affliction, they are deaf and blind. Meaning you can't reason with them. There's something wrong with them. They've been afflicted by kind of a virus. And it was the incurable disease which the Prophet mentioned that Allah alayhi wa sallam. So a similar hadith in Abu Dawud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your love for a thing makes you blind and deaf. Your love for a thing makes you blind and deaf. So somebody says to you, so who do you love? He goes, I love my children. And isn't it true? No matter what they do, you're blind and deaf. No, my son could never do that. Sadaqta ya Rasulullah. Because you're blind and deaf. My daughter could never do that. But forget about children. This is the one that hits people. You love the world. So if people talk about the world, what happens? You don't want to listen. I'm deaf and I'm blind. So let me give you an example. Do you love the world? Everybody goes, no, I don't love it. You're drowning in it, man. You're drowning in it. The Prophet said in Sahih Muslim, the example of the world compared, the hereafter compared to the world, is like you put your finger in a river, how much water comes out. So imagine somebody goes to a river, like this river, Nahrawan, the river Euphrates, the river Nile. You go to it, you put your finger in it, and you take your finger out, and you go, look, lads, look. He goes, what, look at what? Look at my finger. And he goes, there's nothing on it. He goes, no, have a close look. He goes, what's on it? He goes, can't you see it? He goes, what? He goes, can't you see the water? They have a close look. See a bit of moisture. He goes, it's not really water, is it? And then he goes, so you can't even see it. Is it worth anything to you? And then they give you that really confused look. They go, what do you mean, is it worth anything to me? No, I'm just asking you. Is it worth anything to you? He goes, absolutely not. You're a big liar. You're in love with it. I'm talking about dunya. Why does he fail to register? He's deaf and he's blind. The Prophet told you, if you love something, you go left, deaf and blind. You got to take the love of the world out. Who could see the world for what it was? Sahaba. What did the Prophet say about the Sahaba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He goes, you don't have those illnesses. Love of the world and fear of death. He said, you don't have it. Meaning you understand what the world is. And think about this. Let me give you one out of many examples. Amr ibn al-As. Was he known for his zuhd? So what do we know about Amr? What was he more famous for? Radiallahu. Fox. But what was he famous for? What was his like?
Military.
General, you know, very fast, great leader. If I said zuhd, you think, Allah, you know, we're not like his dust, but where, what do you mean zuhd? What did he say to the Tabi'in? You may pray more than us, you may fast more than us, but we're still better than you. So the Tabi'in goes, why is that, honorable teacher? And he wiped the dust from the bottom of his feet, because the world doesn't even mean that to us. So he said to the Tabi'in, is there something about the world that's affected you? It doesn't affect us. Right? And that is what makes people strong. But here, not again. Now go back to the Khawarij. The world wasn't their illness. What was their illness? Misguidance. So what did Hazrat Ali say? There are a people who've been afflicted with evil, they become deaf and blind. You can't reason with them. And it's true, even if you quote whatever you quote, no, sorry, well, we don't accept that. Even though you're quoting Quran, Sunnah, Sahab, thus it is related. In Fath al-Bari, 12-300, Nail al-Awtar, 8-182, this clearly shows that the Kharijites were a group of Muslims. As was stated by many of the scholars. Rahimahumullah. This is important. Somebody goes, do you love the Khawarij? No. And then he goes, do you hate him? Yes. And then you go, 1 minute. Let me rephrase that. I don't hate them. I hate their sin. And they look at you like, what? Right? He goes, you hate the sin, not the sinner. They're Muslims. But when they commit these atrocities, we despise that. But they're our Muslim brothers. And look how Hazrat Ali showed that. He defeated them. What did he do? No prisoners. Give them back everything. But people get emotional. They killed Sahaba, they did this, they caused havoc. So then what, brother, now what? The guy gets, you know, gets that jugular vein come out. Oh, kafir! Brother, you get excited. You become Khawarij. You're calling Muslims kafir. In conclusion, it is also certainly worth mentioning that Sayyidina Ali regretted having fought in the Battle of the Kamal and Siffin. He regretted it. But he showed happiness and delight over the encounter against the Khawarij. They could see happiness in his face. Why? In Majmu Fatawa 28-516, Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said, Rahmatullah alayh, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu fought the Khawarij based upon the decree of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and none of the companions disputed the battle. But at the Battle of Siffin, he showed regret and aversion to what had transpired. So Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said the reason he was happy was because Rasulullah gave him the green light. Because he had no regrets. But when he fought at Siffin, he regretted it. Because maybe I could have done something better. Maybe I could have spared more Muslim blood. Why? Because there was nothing from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, the revered scholars had said, were it not for the war of Ali radiallahu against those who opposed him, we would never have known the sunnah in fighting the people of the Qibla. Subhanallah. Were it not for the war of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu against those who opposed him, we would never have known the sunnah in fighting the people of the Qibla. Recorded by Hafiz al-Baqilani in his At-Tamhid, page 229, Tahqiq Mawaqif al-Sahaba, 2-295. So think about it. Why did Allah the Almighty and Glorious put this test on the shoulders of Sayyidina Ali? For us. Otherwise it's just theory. You got a few hadiths. We don't really know how it's applied. So Allah Ta'ala in His kindness said, I'll show you how it's applied. He arranged the scenario, Muslims for, and you've got all of the details from that. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to add this to finish, the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali, he said, do you think that if I were to absent myself from the people, they would then have behaved in such a manner? Do you think that? This is in Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf 10-124. Look how beautiful. So Hazrat Ali said, if I wasn't there, he goes, do you think the people would have behaved in the correct manner if I wasn't there? So he knew. Hazrat Ali knew why he was put into that scenario. Because Allah Ta'ala put me onto the battlefield against my brothers. So to teach you what to do. And look how beautifully he put it, very humbly as well. Do you think if I was not there, the people would have behaved like this? And isn't it true that we've got all of the guidance from Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anhu? And not forgetting which part of Surah Asr refers to him?
The last.
What's the last verse? So was how can you not show sabr? If Allah Ta'ala says, push one another to patience. Who was the example of the Ali? The Prophet said it. So look at how much patience he was showing this. He said, if I can show patience against this, against that, where is your patience? Subhanallah. Important to point out, this defeat did not mean the end of the Khawarij. Right? This is also very important. They suffered a serious blow. But their fitna is a lasting fitna, which I'll mention, inshallah, for Ustad Allah, in the next few sessions. So all I mentioned today was basically adding some important narratives with regards to the encounter at Nahrawan. And notice everything from our beloved messenger came true. Everything he says is haqq given to him by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I mentioned the Khawarij and how exactly do we treat them or look at them. And the golden key is hate the sin, but not the sinner. They're still Muslims. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم